Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. There's been a lot in the news about Gilmore Holmes around the issues, around the accusations that women have been forced to trade sexual favors to get their apartments fixed in Gilmore Holmes. That's been in the paper. But also the whole question of what is happening inside Gilmore Holmes. Don't forget, this is the place where Freddie Gray came from. This is the community that is Sandtown Winchester. This is a public housing project in a time when public housing is getting less and less money and where people are having a harder and harder time surviving in public housing. There was an incredible, if you did not see it, there was a really good op-ed piece in this morning's paper by Catherine Cavanaugh about public housing and how it is actually hurting families. That 74,000 people applied for vouchers to be then put on a list, and most of those people don't even get close to a voucher. In addition to 25,000 people who are already living in subsidized housing, so you're looking at over, if you think about that number, you're talking about 100,000 families in the city of Baltimore trying to find a place they can live that is stable. Gilmore Holmes is supposed to be one of those places, but anybody who's lived in and through and walked through, experience, spent a night in, has friends in Gilmore Homes or any other public housing, know what it's like to live there, know what happens in those places. So we're going to explore that right now with Eddie Conway. Obviously, we know who Eddie is, former Panther leader here, free now in our community, and is now senior producer. Executive producer? Executive producer of the Real News Network here in Baltimore, and co-author with Dominique Stevenson, who remains with us from the last half an hour of Martial Law, the Life and Times of a Baltimore Black Panther. And Eddie, thanks for staying with us, Dominique, and Eddie, thanks for being with us. So could you, I know you two are doing a lot of work organizing in Gilmore Homes and doing stories in Gilmore Homes. And you have a group called Friend of a Friend. So let's start there. Could we describe what that is and the work that's happening now in Gilmore Homes? Go ahead, Eddie.
Okay, well, Friend of a Friend is a prison mentoring program initially that we started so we could reach young people in the prison system and give them some life skills and other skills so that once they return to the community, they could stay there on the one hand and participate in changing conditions in that community on the other hand. That program eventually grew into reclaiming our lives as prisoners actually got out of the prison system and returned back to the community and other communities. And so that program then actually worked with those prisoners, trained them, organized them, supported them, implored them, et cetera. And they went in various communities. Gilmore Homes was one of those communities. And since for the last 3 years, people have been working with people in Gilmore Homes along with a coalition of friends that's inclusive of all professions, all walks of life, and all ethnicities. And they have been working down in Gilmore Homes collectively with the residents to try to address and change, address some of the problems and change some of the conditions that people are forced to live under.
Dominique, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think Eddie pretty well summed it up. But one of the things that we are looking at really is we decided to concentrate on one community, concentrate our effort there, working with folks in that community. One of our guys who had come out of the prison was from that community, and so he said we should target this particular community. We started out just handing out bag lunches, and then in talking to people found out that the hunger is a real issue, that limited income, people sometimes run out of food stamps if they even qualify. You know, at the end of the month, people need food, and so we started just simply doing handing out food. But our focus was to do survival programs similar to what the Panther Party had done in order to engage people and then gradually even politicize folks and get organized. And what we found is after the situation with Freddie Gray is that residents are stepping up much more, really wanting to get, get more engaged, be more responsible, which is what we wanted. We didn't want a situation where we're simply doing charity. We really wanted to work with people and share that the resources and the power.
I mean, there are two things here I would like to explore in the next couple of minutes. Let me start with one, obviously. And that, when you mentioned a minute ago, Dominique, about Freddie Gray's death and what that's done, one of the things that struck me, and I'm curious to see how you feel about it on the ground in Sandtown, in Gilmore Homes. My sense with meeting a lot of young people who just were not part of anybody's movement, were not part of anybody's political party, were not never been to a demonstration in their life, had not been part of any of that world, that when Freddie Gray was killed and the demonstrations took place and the uprising took place in Baltimore, that is politicized in a very different way a lot of young working class black people, young people in this community, in ways nothing has I can remember in the recent past at all. I mean, something hit with that mm-hmm. brought people up. And so how are you seeing that reflected in Gilmore Homes? How are you seeing that reflected now in the streets of Sandtown, Winchester, in the community itself?
Well, it's true, but working class as well as non-working class, because, in fact, probably one of the major problems is there is no jobs in
right.
Gilmore Homes. Yes, people at some point got fed up, frustrated, and actually got involved, and that involvement seems to have taken on a life of its own. I think there's a great interest now in changing things. I think that was a watershed mark there. And so I see hope mm-hmm. in the eyes of, like, young people. I see a desire in the eyes of people that have been unemployed and marginalized that want to work, that want to look for something, that want to make changes. And it's our hope that that will grow. I mean, obviously, this is the election is around the corner, but at some point, the conditions in Gilmore Homes and in other housing areas and other poor communities are not going to change until we activate the people in the community and they engage in the politics of their localities and change the people that's representing them or not speaking for them at this point, because that's part of a problem. So we continue to work with people and do those survival programs with the understanding that we're trying to build a broader network of political bases in the communities mm-hmm. so that they can get those kind of jobs. And we're meeting and talking to people now about getting jobs down in the community. We're meeting and talking to people about their conditions down there. And for the real news, I have to say, we're trying to promote the issues that represent the things that people down in Gilmore Homes want to put out there, because they're not being represented in any other kind of way. I mean, CNN and other stations come in when there's an incident, but then they leave. And so the issues in Gilmore Homes needs to have a voice, and that's one of the things we're trying to do, tie that voice in with a movement and with activism on the ground.
Dominique?
Yeah, I think for a lot of the young people that we engaged, like especially immediately after, one, they knew that Freddie Gray was them. Not could have been them, was them, you know, in the sense of just the way that his life was. They spoke about constant harassment from the police, you know, and I think that things have not just there in Gilmore Homes, but around the city and around cities all over this country have been bubbling up. It overheated, you know, and so people responded to that anger and the frustration that they've been living with for years. But what I also saw on the flip side and see, I mean, we engage every segment of the community, from the so-called dope boys to the elders. What I've begun to see also is that eclectic kind of gathering where you have children, you have everybody. If you do a community event, everybody is out there. And people just want to be more involved, you know. So people have really been volunteering. And a lot of the work we're doing, we're able to do because of residents there. So it's not just you know, us organizationally, but it's really the support of the residents. It's the love. It's the camaraderie that we're building with folks.
Folks, your thoughts, 410-319-8888. As we talk with Dominique Stevenson and Eddie Conway here in the studio, 410-319-8888. Looking at Gilmore Homes, but public housing, poverty in the city, what changed it? How do we get there? 410-319-8888. Robert, line one, you're on the air. Welcome. Robert, you're on the air. Robert, you there? Turn down your radio so we can hear you. Robert?
Hello.
How could you turn down your radio so we can hear you?
Yeah, okay, hold on. Oh, hello.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, this is an issue that is kind of close to me because I am a product of the Latrobe Project on East Baltimore, so I know something about that. And as far as the programs, of course, I was growing up there when the Panthers had their programs, and the conditions of these projects got much worse. But I guess right now, I'm not going to give any speech on this. I have a very, very practical question because I got in here late. And if I'm not mistaken,
it's okay.
Brother Eddie Conway, by the way, all power to the people, brother.
Okay, power to the people.
And Sister Stevenson?
Yes.
Okay. You were talking already about a program. And my late butt, I got on the phone late. Now, I need to find out what program you're talking about, because one thing I want to do now is to get more students involved in community activism, including my students. So I'd like to know more about the program you're talking about. You were just talking about a program. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm embarrassed.
Why are you embarrassed, man? Don't you? You have a life to live. I know this is Robert Burt, who's a professor of philosophy, teaches at Bowie State, grew up on the east side of Baltimore. So I've known Robert for a long time, so I know your voice. I know who you are.
Oh, brother Robert Burt. How you doing? I'm going to call you, so we don't even have to have this discussion.
But his question, people might want to know this anyway.
Oh, yeah, so yeah.
Friend of a friend. You were talking about.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Well, yes, the Friend of a Friend. It's an American Friends Service Committee program. It's headquartered out at, you can locate it. It's 3600 Clipper Mill Road. And it works inside the prison with prisoners, and it works out in the community now. And we've targeted Gilmore Homes, and we work with a number of people and in that area to kind of address the issues there. And so you can get information that way, or you can reach me at my email, eddie@therealnews.com. Or you can look at The Real News and get some of the stories from Gilmore Homes and the town hall meetings and so on.
Robert, I'm glad you called in, and glad you're here with us. 410-319-8888. Please join us. But I when I look at this city we're in, and almost every question I ask a political leader now has one subtext that I think is really important, and I have to also read this statement about why the housing department didn't come in today, and I'll read their statement in a minute. But is that if it doesn't affect ending poverty in this community, then what difference does any policy mean? How important can it be? Because let's look at these numbers for a moment. You know, when I read these numbers in the paper this morning, we're looking at 99,000 families. I used to say 86,000 families because Jeff Singer, formerly of Healthcare for the Homeless, had said, looking at census data, he extrapolated out that 86,000 families in the city of Baltimore were home insecure, which means they're poor, don't know what to pay for first. Mm-hmm. But of the total number of families, 99,000 families trying to get on a list to maybe be put on a list they might not even get on because their names are drawn out of a hat, literally, but figuratively, then we're talking about well over half the city of Baltimore living in conditions of poverty and finding no way out. And that is, and what you're talking about in Gilmore Homes is a microcosm of that huge issue we're facing. To me, that's the critical issue. You can bring 10,000 more families in here all you want, but not going to even budget change what the city is like unless you address the fact that over half the community, we don't want to admit or to even talk about the question that half of our community lives in poverty. We don't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it to some degree, it's invisible. And that's why I argue there's not one Baltimore. There are actually several Baltimores.
Yes, right.
You know? But people have been made to be invisible. You know, and the reality is that's why we started where we started. We know, like, if people are hungry, they're not going to hear you. You can talk politics till you're blue in the face. They're not going to hear that. You know, you have to really begin to try to address some of those basic needs for folks. And people are not trusting. They've seen nonprofits come in and profit off of their problems. And so it also required really building relationship with the community and showing them that for a long time, they never knew our name organizationally. They just saw certain people, but they didn't know our name organizationally because we didn't push the name. We just wanted them. We wanted to build that trust and build that relationship. That was the most important piece. We weren't doing this to put these numbers in a report, you know.
And you know, the whole issue of poverty is one of public policy, federal, state, and local. Where the money goes. The money's there. The taxes are taken up and collected, or you go to jail or something. The money is there, but it goes in this particular case to the inner harbor and gentrifying upscale neighborhoods. It doesn't go, if you go 2 miles away from the inner harbor to Gilmore Homes or other areas, you have areas that's not receiving any of the resources. They're not receiving any of the benefits of city maintenance. And, of course, that's a whole other issue there. But cleaning up, putting rec centers in there, giving the people of the community an opportunity for employment in the community as opposed to those fake artificial jobs down at the casino or down at the inner harbor, that service industry that you got to live off your tips or you won't make it. That's the problem. The problem is policy redirects that money to people that don't need the money and they get wealthier. And the people that need the money that's getting poor and poor are not getting any at all. And that's what's got to change about the city government, about the state government, and about the national government. Because, and I'll just not go off on a tantrum, but trillions went to big businesses. Okay, I'm going off on a tantrum there. Trillions went to big business, the bailout, all these multinationals, the car, so on and so on. But what came down on the ground for people? And that's the problem. That's our money. Instead of sending it overseas and destroying stuff, build stuff here.
Let's go back to the phones at 410-319-8888.
Sorry about that.
Why? No, because it's connected. These are not disconnected things you're talking about. These are all connected. I mean, as a sidebar, I was saying for a while that we're at least fixing streets all over the city and doing inquiry, but we're not. If you drive down by La Trobe Homes and see the potholes that exist, Gilmore Homes, and the pot every time you try to drive your car, what happens to you in that community. But now they have paved over all the streets on Roland Avenue. So it's smooth sailing. Well, that's part of what you're talking about.
Yes.
It's 410-319-8888. Let's go to RME on line one. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I know you say the money, one of you say the money is there. We see gentrification. And then the inner harbor, all the money is going to the inner harbor. But now the question is, how can we get the community to be involved in policy making? Because we know these policies they were made in 1800 or maybe before that. It wasn't fit for the people of Black descent. Now, seeing all this injustice, I believe we need to coach the Black community as far as what to do step by step. Let's say we go into Annapolis to address an issue. Then we have to train the youth who are from Gilmore Home to write down what is going on, the date and the time, and then get buses to go there and what person to go to. You know, in order to make change, you have to train people step by step. But if you know what it is and the people who are involved, the young leaders from high school, middle school, or, or community members like me, we don't know where to go. We don't know what time. We don't know what place in Annapolis. I can drive to Annapolis, but where and when? Those things, I think, need to be more emphasized on the radio so we can take action.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Any?
Please. Okay. It's who you put in Annapolis. I think we need to start there on the ground. It's not, and it's right now who you put in the city government. You know, it's hard to get it's hard to get a critical mass, like Dominique was saying, of people to be interested in changing the policies when they're starving, when they got to figure out how to pay the rent, when they got to pay medical expenses that they don't have, et cetera. The basic needs are not being met. And I think initially we need to challenge what's happening with the city policy, because Annapolis right now may be a little above our heads, but we can make some changes about how people deal with our communities, how they respond to our communities. We can control what that city council person do. We can start controlling what the mayor does. We can start making demands right here. If you make some demands right here, then you might be able to change some things.
And I think one thing Aramai was saying also is that I think what she's saying, at least what I'm hearing her say, is that people want to be involved, don't know how to get involved, and how to get in the middle of this so they can actually. She says that I think people are frustrated because they don't, just don't know how. There's a mass of people there who really want to see things change, but people just don't have a way to kind of enter it, and that's what I think what her frustration was. And we did invite the housing department because we were going to talk about the sexual abuse cases. We read what they wrote and then come back to our, a lot of people calling in now so we can get to the few callers here and back to our guests. As this is a confidential personnel matter and there's a pending lawsuit, HABC Executive Director Paul Graziano is aware of the allegations of sexual abuse at Gilmore Homes and finds them extremely disturbing. HABC considers any employee actions that would subject its residents to sexual abuse or sexual harassment to be reprehensible. HABC takes the safety and well-being of its residents seriously. The agency continues to actively conduct an internal investigation of the alleged sexual abuse. However, details of this pending personnel investigation cannot be disclosed. Since HABC takes the safety and well-being of its residents seriously, very seriously, Executive Director Graziano sent a letter on October 5th to inform residents of HABC's position concerning these allegations and steps residents can take in the event they experience this unacceptable conduct by HABC employees, contractors, or vendors. In regards to living conditions of HABC residents, HABC's mission is to ensure that all citizens of Baltimore have access to adequate and affordable housing opportunities in safe, livable and decent neighborhoods. HABC has been actively working for some time now to address the backlog of work orders in Gilmore Homes and other public housing projects. So let me ask you this question, right, if you two can answer this at this moment. Since you're in Gilmore Homes a lot, doing work, what about the living conditions? Can you describe? He's saying they're trying to fix them. Can you describe what you see as living conditions inside Gilmore Homes? How can you give people a sense of what that is?
I think it varies from unit to unit. It really does, you know, because we have volunteers who've let us use their units, and some of those units are laid out really well and things are kept up. I think it varies, but one of the things I wanted to comment on was the fact that we had to build a basketball court and Bruce Court. There's a big basketball court in the area near the pool, but as you know, like in Baltimore, people are very, you know, neighborhood-centric. So some people won't go down to the next block, even though that's part of Gilmore Homes. Some children won't go down there because they may have trouble or whatever, or maybe their parents won't let them, whatever. But there was a basketball court that was in disrepair for years, for over a decade at least, and we tried to work with Housing Authority to get that done. It was no cost to them. We were basically taking up the cost, getting donations, and they backed out on us because they said that they didn't want to be liable once it was fixed, even though my assumption is they're liable while it's in disrepair. So we ended up, and the cost was about $5,000. We ended up redoing that basketball court with the help of volunteers and donations. And so that's just a basketball court, okay? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, I don't know how difficult it may be for residents to get repair to units and things like that, but the fact is that they let this basketball court sit in disrepair. There was nothing there for the children to do. There are no playgrounds, no real recreation, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I would add, because I actually hosted for the Real News a town hall meeting down there, and the residents came out and they pointed out the conditions. One, it's a food desert. meaning that there's several miles you have to travel to get fresh food and economically reasonable food from that area. And most of the residents, by being in the poverty level, don't have cars, don't have ways in which to do that. So it's a food desert. That's one thing. Another thing is there's a humongous rat problem. Yeah. A rat taxi chased me around one day in the middle of the day. You know, so I experienced that personally, right? There's a certainly maintenance, a roach and infestation problem with the maintenance department down there. I mean, this is the residents are reporting this stuff. This is not from my observation. But what I do observe is that places where young people should have recreation facilities, and I'm not even talking about the basketball court we put up, but I'm talking about one court over in Vincent Court, there should be there is a space for a recreation area for young people, and it's been removed, and it's been turned pretty much into a parking lot instead of the things that should be there, a jungle gym, a slide, or whatever, for young people to play and grow up with a normal, healthy life of a child. It's not there. They walk out to a tarmac, you know. So there are really serious kind of things there that the residents point out. And if you go to our site at the Real News and pull up that town hall meeting, and you'll see nothing's been changed. Nothing's changed. And even the garbage pickup and stuff is like, with the amount of people living there, it should be more regular than once a week. And in addition to that, there are areas there, you know, that's just garbage dumps that people are just dumping garbage in. The city should clean that up. A lot of what happens with young people if they grow up in that kind of environment is they don't think anybody else in the city cares. And right now, according to how the city government is treating them, they're right. Nobody cares. Well, not nobody, because other people in the city cares. And but the city government itself obviously is not reflecting any concern.
I think we're out of time. Am I correct about that? Yeah, so I do want to thank our two guests here. Before you all leave, I do want to say to our callers just calling in now, Pastor Steve, James, and Mike, we're sorry we could not get your calls, but I want to ask right here and now that both Eddie Conway, Dominique, and others come back as we continue to look at Gilmer Homes and have residents who actually live in Gilmer Homes come join us here on the air and have these conversations with us and with all of you and other housing advocates and advocates of change to talk about where this goes, because we have to talk in many ways about ground zero is the is poverty in this community, what it's doing to our citizens in this town when you have over half the population living in conditions that are just inhuman, and how we get to that. So I want to thank all of you. So we will get your calls next time we do this show, which will be very soon, I hope. Eddie Conway's been with us, executive producer of the Real News Network's Baltimore Bureau. Good to have you here in the studio. And you can tell that in just a second. Dominique Stevenson, who is program director of American Friends Service Committee. They wrote together Martial Law, The Life and Times of a Baltimore Black Panther. So very quickly, Eddie.
Okay, yeah, I would encourage everybody to come down on the 13th at 8:30 at the Real News headquarters for the debate about the debate. The Democratic Party is having a debate, and there's some really key people who are going to come down there and discuss that debate. Please come down there, 231 North Holiday Street.
You can watch the debate and then stay later for the discussion about that debate.
Yes.
Be on the screen live. So Eddie Conway and Dominique Stevenson, thank you both so much for being here. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andre Melton. Our interns are Sianna Greaves, Manifa Wilson, and Calvin Perry. Theme music by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's show to talk@steinershow.org. To podcast the Mark Steiner Show, share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Thank you.